Holy One, awaken us with Advent hope this day, each day, and always. Amen. As Paula said, blessings on this first day of December, this first day of the church new year, the first day of this hauntingly beautiful season of Advent. Each week, just as we did this morning, we will light a candle and pray for the joy and hope of Advent as we anticipate the light of Christ coming into the world, as we await the arrival of the babe of Bethlehem. And this year, we wait for the arrival of a whole new decade in our lives, 2020s. Well, how perfect that we will celebrate a baptism into new life today. But Scripture, the hymns and the prayers of this season, tell us that Advent is about something else as well. It is about the second coming of Jesus. The collect says we must cast off darkness now in this mortal life, because Jesus shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead. We echo this in our prayers and when we say the creed. The prophet Isaiah proclaims that the Lord shall teach his ways and then judge between nations and arbitrate for many peoples. And in Romans, Paul says we must wake from sleep and put on the armor of light, because the judgment of salvation is near. And in this apocalyptic section of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus warns that no one knows when our Lord is coming. One might be snatched out of a field while one remains. So we must keep awake. We must watch. We must be ready. Episcopalians traditionally have not been very comfortable with that part, those images of the apocalypse, the final judgment, the sorting out, the heaven and hell. Historically, we know that after the resurrection, the followers of Jesus were certain that the end times would occur in their lifetimes. Jesus seems to suggest as much. And certainly the warning signs of violence and nation against nation were clear as the Romans tore down their temple and leveled Jerusalem. Well, in the centuries that followed, and as the church grew and formalized its rituals, Advent was viewed as a mini Lent, a time for deep repentance, fasting, penitence, all in preparation not only for the Christ child, but also for the return of Christ, which was sure to come soon. Well, I was curious, so I consulted our friend Wikipedia to find out about some second coming of Christ end of world predictions. Well, the first recorded prediction wrote that Jesus would return in the year 500. By Wikipedia's count, there have been at least 47 major and who knows how many minor predictions since then that have been nervously anticipated and have passed unfulfilled. You may be interested to know that future predictions have been published for the years 2020, 2021, 2024, 2025, 2029, and 2057. And although it is tempting to make jokes about all this predicting that did not come to pass, it speaks to something important. The longing for the kingdom of God to overtake our troubled world. The longing for peace. The longing for a new creation in Christ. So what are we to make of this as we decorate our houses and try not to get too swept up in the commercialism that surrounds us? Does the second coming of Christ hold any meaning for us today, when it is clear that 2,000 years of violence and unspeakable horror have not been the harbingers of the second coming, and that the imagery of Christ descending from the clouds on a throne seems quaint in our time of space travel and depth probes? But it's still an important question. And for some insight into it, I offer you Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, a hugely influential theologian who died nearly 1,000 years ago in 1153. But he asked a remarkably contemporary question. If we believe that Christ rose from the dead, and we do, and if Jesus assured us, and he did, that he would be with us always and is here now, how can he come again? Clairvaux argued that there are things we simply cannot know. It is part of the mystery of our faith that we cannot know the end times, no matter how interesting it might be to speculate. But for Clairvaux, there is a second coming we recognize. Jesus returns to us again and again in the moments of our lives, participating with us in the unpredictability of this life as we try to live into the kingdom of God, as we examine what we have done and left undone. Jesus walks in and among us in the mysteries of this life that is unpredictable and often, in our own words, unfair. Nathan is on our prayer list. Why would a 10-year-old boy whose mother grew up in this church and who is now the bishop of Arizona, why would this boy all of a sudden have a stroke? And why, thank the Lord, is my friend Gretchen's house on Tiger Tail Road in Brentwood still standing, and the house of her neighbor up the street is destroyed? And why did the mother of one of my dorm mates in college disappear when my friend was 7? Just gone. No indication whether there was foul play or whether her mother simply left. She still has no answer. Why? Real life is unpredictable, and we ask these unanswerable questions all the time. And it's why we don't always celebrate this season with joy as we carry burdens of uncertainty, loss, and loneliness. And yet, we are here. We are trying to be good Christians, and we know that Advent is a season of hope. Well, how can this be in the midst of all this unpredictability and unfairness? And yet, as Christians, we get it sometimes, don't we? Hope is our faith and belief in the future of all this, and a belief in the kingdom of God that is here now and not yet. Hope is what we know but can't explain, that good exists, that God exists, that Jesus is real, that love and light conquer darkness, that life itself has meaning, that we are not alone, that swords can become plowshares, that all God is and we are can be seen in a baby, and that something exciting, beautiful, loving, and peaceful is here and beyond. We do not hope for something out of nothing. Hope is aimed at the realization for what has already begun and is continuing. Think back or think about the hope that filled a couple as they wait and wait for their wedding day, or waiting for a graduation or a new job or a move. It is a hope that came from something already begun. And think of hope in waiting for the birth of a baby, that long 9th month, like Mary, struggling with the weight of it, filled with a hope for a better life and a better world for the child. Hope is not a wish. Hope is big. It grows. Its light shines. And Advent is a season of hope. And Advent is filled with fabulous A words. Awake, alert, arise, aware, attention, anticipation. There's energy in all these words, excitement, trepidation. We wait, not passively, not numbed out, but alive. Another A word. And the color of hope is blue. It is the deep blue of the sky just before dawn. It is a quivering, electric time. So Advent is an opportunity to prepare our hearts, to level with ourselves and God as we clean out the cobwebs of old stuff, things done and left undone. It could be an exciting time. It could be an insistence on hope in the midst of our troubled world. And it could be a time to give hope to those who have gone dull, whose eyes cannot see, and whose hearts cannot feel. So blessings on our Advent season, with all the unpredictability of this life, Jesus invites us to awaken to him, in whom we live and move and have our being, the same Jesus who is the Christ child, bringing light into the world, the same Jesus who awaits us each morning. Let us not waste this opportunity to live each day anew, alive in the hope of Advent. Good morning, Jesus. Bring us awake. Amen.